Thank you very much, Ray. Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath to all of you. And those who are listening in cyberspace. Jerry Spitz, if you're listening, we miss you, we love you, and we want you back soon. And we're happy to see the Wallachs are here. That's great. Jesus came here to fulfill a purpose, and he was allotted a specific time to accomplish his mission. If you remember, my last message was Jesus had an agenda to fulfill at a specific and exactness of time set by God the Father, and he accomplished it. Then I concluded with Jesus set us an example that we should walk in his footsteps, and we too have an agenda to fulfill. When we keep his weekly and high Sabbaths holy, we are separated from the world, sanctified by God fulfilling our agenda. Jesus Christ, our soon coming King and Savior, created time, and he programmed it. He divided into seasons, years, months, weeks, days, hours, etc. You can find that in Genesis 1:14. And it also says, God separated an exclusive time for his special use and purpose. This time include the weekly Sabbath and the annual Sabbaths or holy days. These days belong to him. He calls them my Sabbaths. You know, there is duality in the Bible, the physical and the spiritual. When God organized time, he divided into seasons. He separated a special season and made it spiritual. Each of all the seasons yields fruit, a harvest, fruit in due season, physical and spiritual. Watermelon tastes better in its seasons, don't it, brethren? But will you get watermelons if you don't plant them? We are embarked in a journey on a spaceship called Earth, traveling in time around the sun year by year, season after season, around and around, looking forward to the coming kingdom of God. It reminds me of the Israelites when they went out of Egypt wandering for 40 years, wondering when will they get to the land of milk and honey. You and I have been called to fulfill an agenda. Yes, we'll encounter trials and misfortunes in our journey, just as ancient Israel did. But we must keep our hands on the plow and our eyes straight without looking back. Our price is too precious to miss out on it. You know, there are those who will try to make us lose sight of our goal. These are learned men, doctors of divinity, who often criticize labeling us as members of a cult, telling us that we don't have to keep the law, the Sabbath, and the holy days. Let's turn to Colossians 2:8 for a minute. Let's turn to Colossians 2:8. And it reads, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Brethren, since when God's Sabbaths and holy days were rudiments of the world or traditions of men? Some even say that the Sabbath and the holy days are for the Jews only. Why then, after 30 years, when Jesus went back to the Father, Paul continued to keep the Sabbaths and the feasts? Paul was in Corinth. He stayed there over a year preaching to the Jews and the Gentiles, which most of them were Greek, approximately for about 70 weeks. And he preached to them every Sabbath, not on Sunday, but every Sabbath. Luke is the one who recorded all this, and he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile, but he said every Sabbath. Even some of the Bible translators omit a very important scripture found in the King James versions. Perhaps you wouldn't find it in your Bible if you don't have the King James, and that's Acts 18, starting with 20 and 21. And it reads, When they asked him, that was Paul, to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, this is the part that they omit. You probably won't find that if you don't have the King James with you. It says, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. Well, here is one of some of the scriptures that traditional Christians use to do away with God's Sabbaths. Let's turn to Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. It reads, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding to a festival or new moon or Sabbaths, which are shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You know, Paul here is addressing newly members converted to Christianity whom before were worshiping with pagan traditions. He's telling the Colossians that they should not let anyone judge them for keeping these things. But the body is of Christ. Yes, let the church make those judgments. The body of Christ is the church. Let's take a look at the shadows of the things to come. What does that mean? In verse 16, regarding the festival and the new moons and the Sabbath, which are shadows of the things to come. I have heard some preachers explain this scripture by saying, we don't have to embrace a shadow because we have Christ now. They can say anything to get them out of keeping any of God's sacred times because they have their own traditions which have been kept for years, and they won't dare miss with that. They have their own agenda. You know, when I went to art school, the first thing that I learned was light and shadow. When you're drawing an object to make it look realistic, you must have light source, and the object must cast a shadow. Shadows are interesting. There are many lessons that one can learn from shadows when you are studying art. But in this case, I can meditate on the shadows of the good things to come. In the King James Version's Hebrews 10:1, you don't need to turn there, I'll read it. It says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Absolutely. The law of God and the Sabbath are part of the government of God, which is his kingdom that will be coming to earth. In Hebrews 4, the Sabbath is pictured as a rest. God designed the Sabbath days as rest periods for mankind. Shadows protect us from the heat of the sun. If you remember, Mr. Sagley once told us when we were having services at the park under the canopies of trees, that one tree is like having 10 air conditioners. People who work out in the fields take a break and find rest under the shadows of trees. God's Sabbaths, like shadows, gives us rest. And God gives us that temporary rest by separating us from this troubled world. We're under that shadow, under God's umbrella, under his wings. We are under his protection. I love the Sabbath, don't you? Jesus asks us to pray, thy kingdom come. That kingdom is casting a shadow here on earth, and we are waiting for that shadow to materialize. So I will show you a really quick prop here. Let's pretend that this is the kingdom, okay? Let's just pretend that. See if I do this right. And you see, there is a shadow up here. And as it gets closer, it becomes more realistic until it comes to earth and materializes. But this is the shadow that the kingdom is projecting. It means that is casting onto the earth until it materializes. Now let's take a look at the phrase to come. Let me emphasize on that phrase, to come. That has not been done away with, as some may think, because it is pointing towards the future, to a millennium rest of 1,000-year rule by Christ coming to earth. Isn't that the rest that we enjoy and also look forward to keep every Sabbath we come here for services? The Sabbath represents that rule, Jesus Christ's government coming to earth. You know, have you ever noticed that men's traditions point towards the past and God's towards the future? So what's our agenda? As I said before, each season yields fruit. But if we don't plant, we don't reap, right? Well, now is the time for planting. Now is the time for being diligent in doing what is required of us. Love God with all your heart, all your might, and obey his commandments. Stay in the schedule that has been set before us and love your neighbor as yourself. The Feast of Pentecost will arrive next week, right on schedule. Right on schedule. Will you be there? Of course you will. So let's stay right on track and fulfill our agenda. We don't want our lamps to run out of oil when our Lord comes. Let's remember Colossians 2:8. I'm going to read it again. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For a better understanding on this message, you can look up UCG, The History of the New Testament, Part 1, 2, and 3, by Mr. Greg Thomas. And you'd be more than happy if you did. So let's have a great Sabbath, the rest of it, and I'm looking forward to see you next week.